Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
Let's do it!
Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Well, hello. Welcome you to the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. Now known as Sports with No Games, all we have is talk. On 95.3, The Score. Some really odd shots from Sawgrass because, they're playing the Players' Championship and no gallery. And this is a big, big event, highly attended event. The biggest of the year up until the Masters, usually. And just, the guys are out there playing. And by the way, at least there's action out there. I noticed something during the first 2 hours of today's show. Normally, as a rule, I'll be on CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, Pac-12, GoDucks.com, to get updates and, injuries and what time a game is and where to watch it. Not so much today. Once the news came down from this morning that they, at the halftime of the Big East tournament, they didn't even play the second half. Then the Big Ten and Big 12 followed suit. Yeah, we're canceled. American Athletic canceled. Pac-12 canceled. Then the NCAA, as everybody was like, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, the NCAA tournament's not postponed, canceled. They're really no reason to check. I mean, what more could they tell you than there are no games? And it's amazing to me how things changed. First, we were talking yesterday from hour to hour. But, you go into the evening and you're watching the action from Vegas and they played the first four games of the Pac-12 tournament and they were down to 8 and Oregon, poised to make another run. Is it possible they had another Sweet 16, Elite 8 or better in them? And then I went over yesterday's notes. I'll print out a schedule. I printed out all the conference tournaments. I had the Pac-12 tournament bracket. I had my notes from Gonzaga and some of the smaller tournaments. And here's kind of an ironic story printout. NCAA tournament will be played without fans. No, it won't. It won't be played at all. I got the men's basketball standings. Well, we know that now. What's the point of even having that? I went and I get the sports section, and once I read it, I start ripping it up because I like to have the schedule in front of me, because especially a time of year like this, a lot of you will be like, so when is so-and-so game on? Well, on the air, page C4 of today's Register Guard sports section, if you just had basic cable and got the Pac-12 network, starting with the A-10 VCU-UMass game on NBC Network at 9 a.m. through Washington State, Arizona State, there were 21 tournament games on today. All canceled. San Jose, Chicago, NBCSN, Nick Sharks against the Blackhawks, canceled.
That was last night. The Sharks won.
Why are they putting it on today's?
Maybe they're wrong.
They are wrong.
Is that yesterday's paper?
No, it's today's.
Huh. That was wrong. That was yesterday. Sharks lost, by the way. The game is canceled, but if you can still bet on yesterday's games,
get one in.
I'd bet on an 8-2, a total of 8 goals, get the over 7.5.
Radio. Oregon State, KUJZ 95.3, canceled. Nope. There's one thing out there that you could were able to watch that stayed. So in essence, the sports section, TV and radio today could have been a third of an inch. Golf, PGA, Players Championship, first round, 10 a.m. Instead, it's about 7 inches of nothing. Gone. Fartick. Over. Katie barred the door. Done! And the stories from yesterday that I used the term on Twitter, all the information we had gathered, all the preparation, and sometimes I'll take a bracket and put in the little side note, you know, ASU hadn't advanced past the first round since whatever, and, you know, Oregon State off the big win with the dish from Lucas Tinkle to Lucas, you know, is it finally all coming together after a really inconsistent, frustrating season? No, it's not coming together. It's over. That's it. And just whatever you had in your mind as a sports fan, just all went away for the next 4 weeks at least. And one of the stories I meant to bring up yesterday, but it didn't surface because it felt like in and out of every break, we had to update you with something sports related that is connected to the impact of the coronavirus, was this obviously was the first year that there was legal gambling. And while you can't bet on college here in Oregon on the Oregon Lottery Sports app, the NCAA in Indiana and New York, that you could have been at those games and bet on the games you were watching. And the thing was, the NCAA, while it remains opposed on the surface to all forms of sports betting and is not on board with relaxing some long-held policies, they do, one of the spokespeople said, yeah, we do get that the landscape of gambling in America is evolving. And and by the way, I didn't realize this. Legal sports books are also opening in Illinois and Michigan. That's pretty big. So that's 20 states representing almost 40% of the U.S. population will have regulated betting markets. So despite all of that, it wasn't like when you were watching TNT or CBS that they were going to give you a deep breakdown of, well, this game between Purdue and Iona, the over-under is 137.5, and the Boilermakers are a 6.5-point neutral court chalk. And, you know, I forgot who was. Somebody, last name is Osborne. We're talking about, you know, the willingness to protect the integrity of competitions. The NCAA monitors sports rate wagering on a global and domestic level, whether it's pregame, in-game monitoring, and monitoring of officials. They do what they call periodic risk assessment. And, you know, the bottom line is Vegas has hosted conference tournaments for more than 20 years. There have been no scandals. And, you know, first of all, let's not forget, once upon a time in Vegas, it was only college. Now you got the Golden Knights. Now you're going to have the Raiders. And I guess this year, if you include conference tournaments, there would have been 9 college basketball conference tournaments taking place in states with legal betting markets and 5 of them outside Nevada. And, you know, I'm reading this story and it's like, well, this was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Yesterday morning. And it seems like, and it has, the world has changed. And somebody was saying, was there any concern over proximity to a sports book? No, the sports book is in your hand on a mobile device. I mean, what are you kidding me? So the problem here is whether you're pro or against, you would have finally been able to gather data because betting on the NCAA tournament, whether legally or Nevada or via, you know, pools, is really, really big, and now it's really, really dead. Anyway, gang, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Another story I wanted to get to, following up on the horse racing debacle that we were talking about, the one imbecile, Jason Service, was indicted Monday, which that seems like a lifetime ago, charged with administering dangerous levels of performance-enhancing drugs to not only just your regular claimers and your, you know, your weekday horses, but Maximum Security was the one who won the Kentucky Derby but got disqualified. And there was another trainer that was charged, and the inquiry is being made into performance enhancing drugs given to horses in races more than 1,000 times from 2018 through this past February, and beyond, you know, trying to get an illegal advantage to capitalize on winning purses or maybe bets or whatnot. Authorities are saying the drugs can cause horses to overexert themselves, which, you know, your heart could explode. And, you know, in horses, you're not dealing with the phi beta kappas of animals. I mean, they used others that deadened a horse's sensitivity to pain, which obviously you have these horses are usually about 12 to 1500 pounds. And if you look at their legs, they're kind of thin. They're not bulky, especially the thoroughbreds, and the danger there leading to leg fractures. So they switched trainers, the owner, Gary West, to the legendary Hall of Famer, Bob Baffert. Then there was the story about the deaths at Santa Anita Park, and the investigation said the 23 horses that died there were not subject to illegal medications or procedures. So the California Horse Racing Board issued a multi-page report following a year-long investigation, and they are connecting 21 of the 23 deaths to presumed high exercise intensity. Another horse died of heart failure, and they underwent a necropsy, which sounds like an autopsy for a horse, and they had sesamoid bone fractures, which I've heard that term, often related to racing and training. But I'll tell you what, that's just kind of despicable. And then we had the announcement of the newest, and this was announced yesterday, and I didn't even hear it. I pulled it off the wire because it's the 2020 College Football Hall of Fame class. And every year this comes out, and every year I have the same reaction. How the hell is that guy not in already? But then you come to realize the magnitude of college sports and college football. And, you know, when you think, all right, a guy is up for Cooperstown or Canton or Springfield for the Basketball Hall of Fame, and you realize each year there's 450 NBA players. But think about at the college level, 130 teams, you know, there's triple that. And you get guys like Eric Dickerson, who's already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is now getting in the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, of course, Eric the Red is an interesting story in that when he played at SMU with the Pony, Craig James, yeah, those were two guys that were part of the era responsible for landing SMU with the death penalty. Because, I mean, if you ever saw the 30 for 30, it's like they were caught paying players. And the NCAA said, stop or we're shutting down the program. And they basically went, all right, and went right back and was like, yeah, we're going to get him, we're going to get him, we're going to get him. And I think, if memory serves correctly, SMU did not have a football program in the late 80s for two full seasons. I'd have to check the dates there. For some reason, in my mind, I've got 87, 88. So, let's see. Yep, 87 and 88. Should have known better. And, yeah, they went through a rough period. I mean, SMU was a Southwest Conference traditional power that played in Cotton Bowls and Sun Bowls and, you know, Doak Walker. And no, that was not, that was TCU, dummy. And they didn't make a bowl from when they got the death penalty until the 2000s, until 2009. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's get to Brad. Brad, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. So your statement just now of if you haven't gotten the chance to see the 30 for 30 just made me think that you're going to get to in the next 30 days or so.
Yeah, going to get way caught up.
Maybe there's a sponsorship opportunity for Corona in there.
Ouch.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Humor's the best medicine, in my opinion. But, I'm just, as a sports fan, I am heartbroken, specifically for the Duck women.
Yep.
I just, like, it sucks so bad. And, I mean, the Duck men, too. I've been at most of the game. You know, it's just really frustrating that they don't get a chance to prove their championship medal. And, I don't know, I guess I'm a little disappointed. It feels like the NCAA could have at least staged a Final Four with the top four teams. I mean, make everyone do tests, get tested before they go play. I mean, do it in front of an empty arena. I don't know. It just is really, it sucks.
Yeah, but to just award somebody a Final Four when you know the ones don't always make it, and they're such cutthroat competitors, would they have really wanted to be a part of a national championship under those circumstances?
Hey, this from the man that won't expand the college football playoff. I mean, come on, dude.
I'm just talking for the player's sake. I mean, that's part of the journey, you know, to win your way there. I mean, were you up at Portland last year when they beat Mississippi State?
Yes, I was, and watched them cut down those nets. And it's, you know, it struck me that it's such a rare thing to actually be able to see your team cut down nets in person. It was such a special moment. And I just... the whole situation sucks, and I mean, I guess, I agree with you that it wouldn't have been the same thing, but canceling the tournament certainly is not the same thing either. Like, I don't know, it just is.
I mean, it's one of those things, you hate it, but you got to believe in the same position of authority, you'd have done the same thing.
Yeah, I hear you. Just...
No, and again, to split hairs, much as you love the men's team and not to take anything away from them, know what they were capable of, but this women's team has captured the heart of Oregon fans in this community and other and non-Duck fans like maybe we've never seen another. It was unique. There was a certain joyful magic to it, and to have it ripped away like this, there's no way around it. It just sucks.
No, it's such a rare thing in sports when a team like this comes together and gets to do their thing, and now to have the shot at proving it and winning it, getting it taken away, it absolutely
no, works. And it's unprecedented. We've never seen anything like it, and it's just not fair. And just gonna have to live with the 42,000 other great memories they provided the last 4 years.
Totally, you know, and. I mean, the NBA isn't nearly the same thing, but you're talking about what should happen. Like, it seems like at least some sort of tune-up before going straight into the playoffs makes sense. And, you know, you take someone like Vince Carter, for instance, you know, feels like he should get a chance to play in front of a live audience.
Yeah, it was strange the other night when he went out there and they put him in the overtime with the Knicks and Hawks, and he actually made a three-pointer.
That was last night, buddy. It feels like it was last
night. Oh, yeah, I said the other night. It feels like a week ago.
It does. I mean, the amount of stuff that's come down in the last 24.
It's crazy. Unprecedented.
Unprecedented. Unreal. And, you know, I sure hope it makes a difference, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. And I think it will. All right. Thanks a lot, Brad.
All right, man.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump in, feel free to text us, 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. For me, it's at SportsTalk953.
Dan Wolke just tweeted, W-O-I-K-E?
Yeah.
Wolke.
I think he was on Rome yesterday.
He tweeted a quote from Adam Silver who said, quote, "It's way premature to say we lost the season." He also talked about the possibility of an NBA Finals in July, but the situation is very fluid. So that comes back to what you asked me in the lightning round, and a real switcheroo, in that what would the NBA do in a month? Would they just say, okay, the season's over, it should be the playoffs, so we're going to go into the playoffs? Or do you play half of the remaining 15-20 games that are left and then move forward? Like Brad said, a little bit of a tune-up, maybe a last chance for some teams to try and make up some ground in one way or another. But you're a month away from having to make a decision, in which, you know, you really need some time to let things breathe before you rush into something where you say, we're absolutely playing on, what is it? We're on April 15th, we'll be playing games again. No worries.
Yeah, because you can't say that right now.
Yeah, so it's just, I still think it kind of makes sense for them to play a couple games, even if it's for a week's worth, or you at least get everybody so that they've played the same number of games, I think would be the easiest thing, because you can't have teams that have played, you know, 56 and 64 or whatever the numbers are at right now.
Right.
You can't
in the high 60s. So.
Yeah, so you can't have a team, you know, 63 and a 67 and you're competing for playoff spots, because if I don't know what the...
There would have to be an evening out.
Yeah. So I think you kind of level things off for a couple games. It makes the playoff races that much more intense for the teams that are battling for the 8 seed in the West and the
interesting?
6 through 8 in
you
the
said
East.
63 or 67, that's the swing.
There you go. You're going to have to make up that difference. And if a team's at 67, they sit at 67, or maybe you get to 70, something like that. I mean, the scheduling...
I still don't think the Knicks are getting it.
No. You certainly can't change everything to where a team like the Warriors, who are eliminated, are all of a sudden back in contention.
Here's what I want to do. I want to come up with our top three catchphrases covering the coronavirus. Is it essential personnel? It's a fluid situation.
Oh, that's a good one.
We need to pay attention to that. Because want to do what's best or safest. So there's something looming there. But I bet if you could do like a story count and like, all right, I'm going to watch SportsCenter tonight, the 11 o'clock SportsCenter, you know, like with the Walton drinking game, every time he says conference of champions or he makes some kind of ridiculous remark about it being the eighth worst possession in the history of the program, you know, the drinking game, which will put you into a coma by the middle of the first half. But for this, fluid situation, essential personnel, empty arenas. There's a lot. We could fill out a bingo card, I think.
Canceled, postponed, yep. On pause, on hold. Will be reevaluated. It's a fluid. Did you say
fluid situation? I know that, it's going to be way up.
Boy,
there.
That's a yeah. If you played a drinking game of reading Twitter, reading the news, and hearing quotes from people, every PR person in every major league is just like fluid situation. It's a fluid situation.
It's wet. That's how fluid this situation is.
Like most fluids.
All right. That brings us to break time. We'll do that. We'll have an update and some more sports we're going to talk next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
It's not a competition. The flu can be mild or the flu can be deadly. This can be mild or coronavirus can be deadly. And the difference here is that this is a new respiratory pathogen. We don't have a lot of data on how it behaves, what to expect, the clinical course of it. We just don't have a track record on it. And in medicine and science, you know, that makes people uncomfortable. And what's going on in the other parts of the world, in particularly in Europe, is concerning.
That's a doctor, Jennifer Ashton, talking about the virus. So another thing, you know, today I was able to just almost as kind of a goof, get a couple of sports highlights with Roxy Bernstein and Don McLean from yesterday when the Beavs' Jared Lucas beat Utah with that stinger three from the corner. And then the Mavericks game from last night with Doncic getting a big bucket. And that was the last available game highlight on the site we have access to. And so it's like, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of sound bites in the next coming days. Unless, I guess we could kind of go old school and celebrate the tournament that's not here and go back to some great moments in Pac-12 tournament history. Maybe Ridenour against UCLA. But anyway, we're back. It is Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score. And some good suggestions so far. I'm trying to think about putting together a trivia question, make a game of it. A couple of you have sent some cool photos. David Robinson, Celtics coach Brad Stevens. We're calling it Brushes with Greatness. How about athletes who've had a second profession, be it acting or something else you're familiar with, beyond their playing career, or athletes who in a TV show or movie role did not just do a cameo and were really, really good. I know we're going to get to He Got Game by Ray Allen. That was a pretty impressive performance. You know,
does SNL count? Because Peyton Manning on SNL, him
throwing
doing
the hard passes
him
to the
doing
little
the
kids.
Skit with the little kids, even him on those the Nationwide commercials, he's fantastic. He's really good at comedy. Like his dry comedy is fantastic.
How far back does that go from the cut that meat? I mean, he's been retired a couple years now. Then he was with Denver. I mean, that first one of the first ones he did when he was still in his prime with the Colts, that's got to be like 8-10 years ago when he goes and meets the guy at the deli and high-fives him and has his hand there. I'm not going to wash this hand.
Even him and Eli, when they did like the Sunday Ticket commercials and they had the "This is me with Sunday Ticket, this is me without Sunday Ticket," those were all so good. Like the writing is really good, but his execution is just as good. Like he makes those words seem like he's not acting. Like that's just kind
he's
of like
natural.
What Peyton is.
He's a natural. Somebody suggested the best "This is SportsCenter" promos. There were a couple of good ones there. And by the way, one included both Mannings walking down the hall, Archie in front, Eli and Peyton behind him, trying to kind of do what brothers do, like kick each other behind each other's back. And Archie turning around, giving him the dirty look. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
What was the one that had, I think he ended up moving on to call Yankee games on TV. He was a brown hair, had a beard. I forgot how it ended, but it was it Charlie Stein?
Yeah, Charlie Steiner. He's
yeah.
the Dodger announcer.
Dodger announcer. Okay, but there was
the
one.
The Y2K?
Yes.
Mayhem?
That one.
Follow me. Follow me to freedom.
That one.
And then
so
the
good.
The cutaway to McGuire with the bat and all the electricity's gone out. Oh, no, that's one of the best ones ever. All right, a couple of phone calls, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, good. Hey, this isn't Mark Emmert paying back the Ducks.
For what?
Oh, he was wasn't Emmert connected with the University of Washington?
I have no
wasn't
idea.
Wasn't he at University of Washington long ago?
I really don't
conspiracy.
Know.
But yeah. I heard you guys talking about, you know, about the NBA season, if they start back up, if they should play a few games or what they should do. For some reason, it made me think of the year my Cincinnati Reds. It was a strike season. They ended up with the best record in Major League Baseball but didn't make the playoffs because there was a first half and second half.
Yeah.
Was that back in 81 or 82?
It was 94. Remember, they
94.
Made it. They made it
oh, wow.
in 81.
Yeah, so that's the year they ended up like a game out after the first half was stopped. Or whatever was it, the strike? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I remember the 90s.
Second half, I can't remember what they did, but they didn't. They ended up, I can't remember how they ended up with the best record and didn't make the playoffs. But
yeah, no, it was the combination of both halves. They had the best record, but they didn't finish first. No, I got to double check the year because I think Montreal, which
yeah.
now Washington, had the best record in 94. But they didn't get in because the whole season was canceled. But I think it might have been a different team in 81 because the Expos got in 81. That was their only playoff.
I thought that was the year. For some reason, Rick Monday comes to mind for some reason out of my.
Yeah,
of
that
my
was 81. That was the first strike
okay.
season.
And what was a silver lining for the men's Duck basketball team is that more than likely, none of these freshmen are going to be moving on. To the NBA, none of these—they're all going to be back next year. So, the Ducks are going to have like 9 guys returning from this year's squad next year's squad. Hopefully,
yeah, they'll obviously lose Justin and Peyton Pritchard, but no, they should be in good shape. Yeah. So, in 1994, the year they shut down the season, the Expos had the best record in the National League. They were 74-40. They had a 6-game lead on the Braves. They had a better record than the Central leader and the Dodgers, but the season got canceled.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
All righty.
Gary Carter still playing then, or was he retired?
No, but he had moved on to the Mets. I mean, he was with the Mets
right.
in the 86 championship
right.
season.
Right on, Steve.
All right. Take it easy. All right, 284-8571. I think Gary Carter came up in the 70s and retired in the early 90s. Let me just bring his numbers up here. Yeah, rookie year 75, last year 92. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's get another phone call in, and let's bring in another Mike. Good afternoon, Mike. How you doing?
You know, there's a reason why every decent person is named Mike in this world.
Well, obviously.
So you're talking about athletes that have become actors, and this is, I'm sure, way before your time, but Chuck Connor, who became the rifleman on the TV series back in the black and white television days.
Yep.
Is a good example of that.
Yeah, he played baseball, right? And actually,
right.
didn't he play hoops, too?
I don't remember. I remember baseball.
Yeah, I think he played. He might have played for the Celtics. I'd have to check. But, yeah, he had a cup of coffee, and I think he's also one of the few that played in the NBA and MLB, and obviously, a huge role as the Rifleman and movies later on.
Yep, that was a long-time series. The Rifleman lasted a number of years.
Oh, yeah. No, it's 6 years on ABC.
Yep.
All right.
Okay,
good
that's
one.
All I got.
And by the way, here we are. Chuck Connors did play for the Boston Celtics. And yes, thank you, Mike, for pointing out that it was a little bit before my time. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. This is really interesting. He played 2 years with the Celtics. He had a cup of coffee with the Cubs, but he did play in the major leagues. So even though almost everybody would know him as for his acting career, one of 13 people ever in the history of American professional sports to play both Major League Baseball and NBA basketball. Wow, at least he wasn't talented. Let's bring in one more call before our final break to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We go bring in Ken. Ken, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hi, Steve.
What's up?
You know, just calling, a couple of comments and thoughts just on our women's team. You know, I think the sentiment was one of sadness and kind of, you know, that old poem, the saddest words of tongue and pen are these words, what might have been.
Yep, perfect.
To see the cancellation of the season, I mean, just sad. But, you know, the business will never be finished. The question will always be, you know, asked. But, you know, to these amazing women, you know, just a debt of gratitude that we all have to see such incredible dominance and excellence. You know, that's never going to be taken away from us. And the last image we have is of them climbing ladders, cutting down nets. They weren't the ones that we wanted or thought where it would end, but they go out on top and as champions, which it means a lot, you know, and there will always be the debate. But, hey, if someone wants to make some money, I think what you could do is, you know, rent a gym someplace, call South Carolina, call Baylor, put Oregon, all three in a building, play around robin format. The two that finish, the one that finishes 2-0 and 1-1, they play. And they don't even have to tell anybody, but at least they'll know. Because I think, for all things considered, they were definitely head and shoulders better than everyone else this year. But darn it, it's just one of those eternal debates that will rage on forever, and we're never going to have the answer to. And I'm sorry that was taken away from us, but at the same time, how blessed we were to see the careers of these amazing women and to be a part of their lives. So, you know, all the best to them, and sorry we didn't get to see what could have been.
No, I appreciate the call, Ken. And at least in the case of the women, while the rug got pulled out, the four of them, obviously Sabrina, Ruthie, and Satu with the 4-4-3 years, and Mignon, her one, they really got to be celebrated. I mean, the Northern California schools here with the back-to-back sellouts, and just the post game, cutting down the nets, and then the senior day ceremony. So while there was the emotion of the moment, we always felt like, and then there's going to be the two NCAA tournament games. It wouldn't have been the same because, you know, the NCAA is involved. It's not specifically a Duck home game. So they got to kind of feel it from the crowd, and certainly they would have been followed and well attended up at Moda for the second round. And if things had gone according to what most of us would have anticipated, a lot of you, I know for a fact, were planning on making the trip to New Orleans. By the way, here's another one. We're going to go athletes whose second career was in politics. I'm going to come up with that one because we got some good ones. Steve Largent, Bill Bradley, Jack Kemp, J.C. Watts. It's actually, there is a tradition there. And Watts played, I mean, Largent of Oklahoma, Watts of Oklahoma, but Largent played at Tulsa. Watts played at OU. Anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take our final break of this. The 5 o'clock hour, and we'll be back with the tweet of the day and the cherry on top of the Thursday Sunday. Yes, I went there. 95.3 The Score.
And now it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody. Hello, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Prospered Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Sorry, mountain cold refreshment that's made to chill. Read the wrong tagline. Fell into old habits, Steve. Haven't done that in forever. Anyways, we've got some good tweets. This one is from yesterday, so it doesn't necessarily qualify for today's refreshing tweet of the day. It's from at I Hate This Kid. He tweeted, my buddy's girlfriend who has been on spring break in Miami for 5 days just replied to him, quote, sorry, my phone has been dead. Posted it with the video of the end of Friday Night Lights right after Berryman loses. And everybody is distraught and crying on the field. And it's the final minute and a half of the movie. And I don't know if the story is real. Probably isn't, but the joke is absolutely fantastic. So we got that. What else have we got here? There's so much news today. A good tweet from Goducks KG, Kelly Graves, BFF of the show. Quote, it appears our unfinished business will remain just that. Disappointed, but I completely understand. I love and I hurt for my team with plenty of photos of the Oregon women out at the Pac-12 tournament surrounded by green and yellow confetti. Man, so many people today on Twitter just so heartbroken that, you know, it's like a moment that we were all expecting of Sabrina lifting a national championship trophy just ripped right out from us. It's, oh, man, that was brutal. A tweet here from Ja Morant who tweeted 2020 equals with an emoji of a guy throwing things into a garbage. Feels about right. Today was just kind of all over the place. From yesterday, 506 Sports tweeting, the past hour has been a hell of a year. That was right after we got off the air. Like, the world was turned upside down into, like, a 540. That was insane. Just, I got home, and everybody was like, oh, I'm sick of these Castaway jokes. I'm like, what do you mean Castaway jokes? I scrolled down. There's Tom Hanks saying he has coronavirus. 2 minutes later, Woj dropped the bomb that the NBA season was suspended. It makes no sense. But a refreshing tweet of the day through all of this madness comes via an Instagram post from Kevin Love, who posted on Instagram, everyone reacts differently to stressful situations, and the fear and anxiety resulting from the recent outbreak of COVID-19 can be extremely overwhelming. That is why I'm committing $100,000 through the Kevin Love Fund in support of the Cavs Arena and support staff that had a sudden life shift due to the suspension of the NBA season. And it's an extremely, it's a perfect moment from Kevin Love realizing that right now life, there are more things that are important than no games happening, and this is putting a lot of people's lives at risk. So very refreshing for Kevin Love donating $100,000 to help the Cavs, their staff, and helping them get all that good work done. So while there's no sports happening, you can follow us on Twitter at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
All righty. One of the feel-good stories was from Cleveland Cavaliers forward Kevin Love, who put up $100,000 to the arena workers. And, you know, the fact that the games are being postponed or canceled, that doesn't change the fact that if you work full-time at Rocket Mortgage Arena, or if you have a job and that's how you supplement your income, which I could imagine for 41 home games, you know, selling beer or peanuts or taking people to their seats or working for the security or whatever it might be, the timekeeper. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have now announced a plan to compensate all employees, hourly and event staff, as if every game and every event was still taking place. So that's pretty cool. It'd be nice to see that kind of take root, and with the understanding that when we think of games being canceled or postponed or seasons or tournaments, you know, we look at it like, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? And, you know, not going to be able to go to games, and we're not going to be able to fill out our bracket. Yeah, but we still have our jobs. And other people are actually going to, you know, aside from those who are getting ill because of this virus, those who are going to take the financial hit and really suffer the dollars and cents brunt of this. And we're not even talking about the sports bars and, you know, places who have, you know, where you could park, stuff like that. So it's nice to see, in the midst of all this misery, something uplifting. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, although we're running a tad tardy. For tomorrow, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to get here. Nick's going to get here in the morning, and we're going to see what's happened, and we're going to put a show together. I've taken a bunch of suggestions today.
Yeah, the key here is Steve, we have to hoard them. We have to take our topics, our conversations, and we really have to slow down for how quickly we go through them. We're going to need people to recycle takes through us. We're going to need all sorts of, even if they're not sports related, sports adjacent, whatever it is, we're going to have to hold on to it to figure out if we can talk about it and when we're going to talk about it. Because it's going to be a long stretch here before sports comes back. Probably not until
4 weeks.
April.
I think, depending on what happens with the PGA of the sports that I really follow, we're probably talking about 4 weeks. I mean, we always talk about the downtime, like in late after the All-Star break.
But there's
actually baseball going on. There's soccer going on. There's MLS. This year there would have been the Olympics, which, by the way, we're here. At this point, they're really going to hold the Olympics in the Far East. I don't see that happening. And if that becomes a problem, that's going to have another bad impact because the trials are set for here to make the U.S. Olympic track and field team. It's just brutal. All right. So we made it through a Thursday. And I got to tell you, I think with your help, we did well. It wasn't a day where you would have noticed a lack of topics because so much that's happening is so new, and I think we're all still trying to wrap our brains around it, that this might have been one of our more therapeutic shows. So let's see what tomorrow brings. Crunch Time and Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.